Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. On Money FM 89.3. Sport On with the Straits Times Sports Desk.
Well, welcome to Sport On here on Money FM 89.3. And we have with us right now a sports podcaster from the Straits Times who has a very own sports podcast called Game of Two Halves. And thank you for dropping by, our sports correspondent for the Straits Times, Sazali Abdulaziz.
No problem, man.
Good to see you again. Okay, today, of course, in the first half of this segment, we're going to talk about the big game in the EPL that happened over the weekend. In fact, it was last night, as well as the long-awaited ATP title for Andy Murray. Well, let's kick it off with the highly anticipated game between the Red Devils, Manchester United, and the Liverpool that took place last night. It ended 1-1, and thanks to Adam Lallana's late equaliser for Liverpool. And while all this was, well, it was not a classic, and there was a lot of talk about it as well after the game, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp complained that Manchester United always defend against his Liverpool teams. I mean, after all, Liverpool has not beaten Manchester United in Old Trafford for quite a number of games. Is that a fair comment to make, Cezali?
I don't think so. I think it's a comment that, you know, stems out of frustration for Jurgen Klopp. You know, the draw snapped their winning streak, you know, and stopped it at 17 games, which is just one shot of Manchester City. So I'm sure that stings for him, and against obviously a big rival like you know, Manchester United, it's you know, it's probably hard for him to take lah. But you know, it's a lack of class, to be honest. I think a lot of people like Jurgen Klopp for his, you know, his bombastic character. You know, he's a good man manager. He smiles, he jokes, he hugs his players and stuff like that. He comes across as a very likable fellow, but you know, sometimes we've seen him when, you know, when he cracks, you know, he tends to, you know, yell at referees and stuff like that. And then, you know, sometimes makes comments like this in the press. Mm. Like I said, like, you know, not really a classy move by him. But I can see why. I think the pressure's, it's not to say the pressure's getting him. They're still, you know, top of the table. There's still a few points clear. It's a frustration getting to him.
I mean, talking about him cracking McPherson's Hazali, I watched the game last night as well. I mean, I could see many moments that he was absolutely passionate, angry, and he was like kind of frustrated as well.
Yeah.
Especially when the Sadio Mane goal was disallowed.
So, yeah, so one of the interesting things that he brought up, and like you mentioned earlier, you know, there's a lot of talk after the game, not only about his criticism of Manchester United being defensive, he also complained about the VAR, the video assistant referee. And, you know, I think everybody's pointing out to the same thing, you know, which is, you know, it's a bit rich coming from him because Liverpool have already benefited earlier in the season against Leicester, you know, from VAR. And then, you know, now when they don't get it their way, they're complaining about the system. So, you know, he says it's a clear foul on Origi in the lead up to Manchester United's goal. But you know, people have been, you know, obviously the day after Manchester United Liverpool game, everywhere on social media you turn people you know, will be giving their take on it. And you know, some people are saying, you know, you look at Origi, he got kicked in the left leg, he's clutching his right.
Correct.
So it's, you know, was there really contact? You know, people are unsure about that. But yeah, I like I said earlier, I think, you know, it's just frustration getting to Jurgen Klopp. And you know, I think, you know, if you are a big team, you go to a, you know, if you are a superior team, and everybody I think can agree that at this point of time, Liverpool are the better football team compared to Manchester United. But if you go to your opponents, you can't break them down. You shouldn't complain that, oh, they're being defensive, because obviously they're the inferior team.
It's natural.
Yeah, they'll naturally set up to defend against you. And instead, probably he should be looking, you know, should he be worried? You know, Salah is out. They played Origi and you know, clearly they didn't work. You know, they didn't really create too many, you know, good openings. Maybe it's, you know, it's so many factors. You know, it could be, you know, Mane and Firmino were just in Singapore. It could be that, you know, they travelled so long during the international break. But I think you shouldn't take a swipe at your opponents.
Well, to be fair, I think Liverpool, they were obviously not as well-oiled as the normal selves. I mean, obviously they were not creating as many chances as you mentioned. I'm not sure so much was it just Salah, or could it be just the entire team was just tired?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one thing I've noticed over the last couple of seasons, particularly, you know, with the international breaks, is that when the players come back from the international breaks, the bigger teams tend to sometimes sometimes struggle. So, you know, it's one thing is the fatigue of players traveling overseas and you know, like we mentioned, you know, some of them traveling halfway around the world to Singapore to play, you know, a friendly zero, 20,000 people. But also, you know, the teams that don't have so many international players, they have that 1 week or 1.5 weeks to actually work on things on the training ground. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, look more cohesive when the game finally comes around. So, yeah, that's why we tend to see some disjointed performances by the bigger teams and cohesive performance by the, you know, not so impressive teams. Mm-hmm. So,
well, to be fair to Manchester United, some had expected a heavy defeat for United, I mean, given the recent form for both teams. So with the result of a 1-0 draw, well, Manchester United could have nicked it in the last minute if not for Lallana's a late goal. Do you think the result against the league leaders suggests that Manchester United they have turned the corner?
Not quite, lah. You know, I think there were good signs that they could take away from the game. They were disciplined. You know, they did created chances. But I don't think, you know, this is Manchester United fans should hold their breaths. The biggest issue I see, you know, in this team is the lack of depth. Every starting 11 sort of looks the same, and that's because, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't really have options. I mean, you can argue that, you know, it's his own doing. He let people like Lukaku, Sanchez, and so on go in the summer and didn't adequately replace them. But the fact is, you know, the depth of the squad is not there. You know, they have, I think, 28 first team players. I think 8 have played just a handful of Premier League games. And I'm talking about people like Greenwood, you know, Chong, Tuan Zebi, the youngsters like this. And when you take into account injuries and so on, you know, not much the manager can do, you know, in terms of, you know, you have the same old players, very few surprises. He pulled off a surprise, you know, to be fair, against Liverpool with a new formation.
Right.
But other than pulling off the odd surprise here and there, there's not much options he can do in terms of, you know, attacking approach, for example. So yeah, they certainly need to add in the January transfer window that's coming up in a couple of months and also in the summer. So I think if he gets to stay, and I hope he gets to stay, and I hope as a neutral, I hope United don't fall that far that they'll sack him.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see how Manchester United squad look at the start of next season, you know, when he's had another 2 transfer windows to sort of add to his team and so on.
Well, though, this talk about Mandzukic from Juventus that they're looking at, do you think he'll be a good addition?
Yeah, you know, this is another strange one. You know, a few weeks ago, you know, the reports are saying, all the rumor mill was saying that, oh, he has already agreed to join.
Correct.
And then I think yesterday or 2 days ago, I saw an article saying Manchester United has cooled their interest in him. So, you know, I mean, this is how it is, like the rumor mill. You know, sometimes a player has signed, then the next day you see, you know, he's still training, you know, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, I think he certainly would add something to the United team that they currently don't have, which is a physical presence up front. He's a good finisher. He's a, you know, a top class striker. He's, you know, not the youngest, but they don't really need youth exactly right now. You know, they need a mixture of, you know, players who can compete at the highest level, and if, you know, players like Mandzukic, you know, who's you know, won titles in the Serie A and so on, are willing to come, I think they should absolutely you know, bring him over.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you like the Straits Times of Sports On, and of course a Game of Two Halves, you can listen to us live for Money FM 89.3 from about 5:15 PM every Monday, right about this time. Or you can subscribe to the Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, and like us and give us a rating. And today we're talking to Sazali Abdul Aziz, sports correspondent over at the Straits Times. So talking about turning the corner, Sazali, I mean, in tennis over the weekend, Andy Murray won his first ATP title since March 2017 at the European Open in Antwerp. It was the Scots' first title since undergoing career-saving hip surgery earlier this year. I mean, he was in tears after his win. And why does this mean so much to him, Sazali, even after 45 prior ATP titles?
Well, I think, you know, even though it's not one of the most prestigious titles he has won, it's a milestone because of, like, you know, what we mentioned, you know, the surgery and you know, the timing and the dip in form, and I guess the slide down the rankings that he has suffered. You know, the fact is, you know, he, like we said, it's not a huge tournament, but he beat, you know, a pretty good opponent in Stan Wawrinka in the final. So I think just that validation to know that, he still has what it takes. Is what made it so emotional for him, and you know, for you know, he's 32 now. He's I think ranked 127th in the world, which is, you know, obviously a huge huge slide for him. I think it's just, you know, sometimes your confidence takes a beating, and you know, sometimes you tend to question, you know, can I ever get back to where I was. And so all power to him, you know, salute, I salute the fact that, you know, he's come back and, you know, he's done and won his ATP title. It just, shows the determination and character that he has come back, you know, so strongly.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's very passionate about his performances, and that's something that we really look forward to him again going forward after this. But prior to this, he was taking part in more of the doubles, competitions, yeah, and some of the competitions. He did well, some not so well.
Yeah. Well, I think the goal was always to get back to singles competition and show what he can do and try to see how far he can go. My colleague Nicole Chia, she went to the Shanghai Masters earlier this month. And you know, she noted, you know, we actually spoke about this, you know, she noted that, you know, like you mentioned, he's a very fiery competitor, you know, and for a while he sort of didn't display that same sort of fire in his games, and in Shanghai he did, you know, he was screaming again, yelling again, you know, pumped up, and you know, my colleague Nicole was telling me, you know, he said he looked like the old Andy Murray, at least he's on the way back there, you know, so she was hopeful, and she said, you know, she believes he can eventually contend for Grand Slams, but even she was surprised at how soon he has, you know, won this ATP title and you know, the European title, and again, like I said, against you know, not a nobody, against a player like Stan Wawrinka, who's, you know, proven himself at the top level as well. A fantastic achievement, and you know, it bodes well for him, and I'm sure he's earned more fans now, you know, with, like I said, you know, his character and bouncing back from you know, such difficulties, and I'm sure, you know, these fans will be excited to see how he goes on from here and whether he can, you know, eventually probably contend for a Grand Slam. There will be some story.
So that goes the final whistle for our sports discussion of the week right here on Money FM 89.3. We really hope they enjoyed listening to us, and glad to have you in the studio, Sazali.
No problem, Munet.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.